In a few weeks, several weeks actually, I'll be doing another retreat with high school students, this time in the city of Rockford. And one of the things that I have to do as part of this retreat is I have to have an opening song and a closing song to begin my talk. And that's part of this kind of retreat format. So I've been looking at different songs. One of the ones I thought of was one of the ones I liked when I was growing up back in ancient times. We'll take you there. But I thought, no, the kids won't understand that one. So I found one by Casting Crowns. And it's called The Altar and the Door. And the artist struggles with the fact, how do I keep up that momentum, that holiness, the sacred experience, that goodness, the experience of Jesus Christ that I've had at the altar by the time I reach the back door of the church? How do I maintain that, sustain that in my life? And he struggles with the sin and sinfulness and our brokenness, that we go to the mountaintop to meet God. We go to the place, the altar of God, and we discover the Lord of life, the one who saves us and brings us salvation. But so often by the time we reach the back door of the church, we've ruined everything, if you will. We've sort of obscured that vision by our actions, our inactions, our attitudes, whatever it might be. And the artist says, Lord, this time I'll make it right. Here at the altar, I lay my life. Your kingdom come, and my will was done. My heart is broken as I cry, like so many times before, I flood my eyes. I try before I leave the floor. Oh, Lord, I try. But this time, Jesus, how can I be sure I will not lose my follow-through? And the challenge, to be sure, is to maintain through our life of faithfulness, a life of discipleship, to maintain that vision of the glory of God, to maintain that transfiguration experience. Because Jesus Christ goes up the mountain, but he reminds the disciples before he goes up to the mountain that he must suffer and die and rise again. That to achieve that glory, if you will, that the cross is part of that mystery. The disciples are given a glimpse of the glory. But for St. Mark, Mark wants us to understand that without the full possession of the cross, the ability to embrace the cross, to embrace the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we cannot achieve that glory. And even as the apostles in Mark's gospel is so evident, the apostles are trying to sort of mete out position for themselves. Who's the best apostle? Who does Jesus like the best? How are we going to get all this glory and power and authority? We want to be on Time Magazine and 60-minute interviews. How do we achieve all this, Jesus? We want to be really, really important. And Jesus takes a child and places the child in their midst and says, whoever allows their lives to welcome one of these, one of these little ones. And Jesus is not just simply speaking about children in the chronological sense. He's speaking about those who are childlike, who have the social and political power of a child, those whose lives may be on the fringes of life, or maybe whose society pushes at the fringe of life. Whoever welcomes one of these, then they are fit for the kingdom of God. And whoever ministers to one of these is fit for the kingdom of God. And I think about that when Pope Francis reminds us that for those who do ministry, we need to smell like our sheep. I like that a lot. I know what a cow smells like, so I would always use the phrase smell like the cows, but that's another story. The apostles are challenged to take up that cross, and we are called to be willing to take up that cross as well. Even more so, as sojourners with one another and for one another, we are companions of faith. We have to have the ability to welcome into our midst all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are called also, very importantly, to take responsibility for our faith, to allow what we have received at baptism, Eucharist, and confirmation to be molded over, to be stretched and nurtured and nourished in our life, that we are stewards of our faith. And today, in the Transfiguration, Peter hardly knows what to say. And as witnesses of the Transfiguration and this mystical conversation between Moses, the giver of the law, and Elijah, the great prophet, St. Peter makes two very, very important responses. First of all, he says, this is good. This is good for us to be here. And truly it is. Whenever we have that mountaintop experience, whenever we come to the Lord and really meet the Lord, really meet Jesus Christ in our life, really come into his presence and acknowledge his presence, really feel the power and the healing and the mercy and the love and compassion of Jesus Christ in our life, when we are up on that mountain with our companions, it is good that we are here together. And then St. Peter also wants to take that experience and he wants to maintain it. Let's erect three booths here. Let's stay here forever. And that's an important feature also of St. Peter. He wants us always, wherever we are, to take that experience with us, that we constantly return to that experience. We hold that in our presence, in our midst, not just through the mission and the ministries of the church, but our own prayer life and our own spiritual life as well, that we have the ability to go back to that holy experience, that holy mountain, to recall for ourselves and memorial the glory of Jesus Christ, to remain focused on what we are about and who we are about as children of God. The transfiguration of Jesus Christ, the Father Almighty reveals his Son as the Christ. And we are challenged now then to accept that invitation to elevation. We are called to be lifted up, just as Jesus was lifted up on the cross, that we are called with that same cross to be raised up as well. And I always think about squirming little children, you know, when they're real fussy and they don't really know what they want to do. And sometimes we go to hold the little child, we pick them up, and they squirm and they wiggle and their arms and their feet flail and everything. They don't really want to be lifted up, but they don't want to be put down. They don't really know what they do, what they want to do. And we still lift them up and we hold them very, very close until they settle down. In the same way, sometimes we fight against Jesus Christ. We fight against his compassion, his care. We fight against what he's trying to do for us. We are almost like a squirming little child who wiggles around a lot as well. But our challenge is to allow ourselves to be lifted up out of the gunk and the yuck and the bleakness and the darkness of life, to allow ourselves to see another possibility for us in that transfiguration. That with the apostles, to witness Jesus changing and the invitation that we might be changed, transformed as well. And when we are able to delight in God's goodness above all and to embrace the heart and the word of God, the Father, then suddenly our eyes are open and we see Jesus Christ standing there. There's a song when I was growing up, again back in ancient times, by Joseph Wise, "Lord, Teach Us to Pray." And it's one of these songs that's best sung with the nasal voices of a third grade child. And it's, "Lord, teach us to pray," because it's been a cold December kind of day, or in our probably experience a cold February kind of day. And we stand on separate shores and we lose the way. It's a neat song because it says so much about our life. But it says so much about the understanding that where do we find the way? Where do we find our place and space back to peace and wholeness and healing? Well, through Jesus Christ, by seeking him out, by seeking out his care, his word, his direction, by seeking out his shepherding skills, that we might regain our composure and regain our place, that we might regain that vision of the glory of Jesus Christ in our lives. St. John of the Cross and Teresa of Avila, two of these great mystics in our church. And supposedly John the Cross and Teresa of Avila levitated while they prayed. And their prayer and their experience of God was just so powerful, something that we can only dream of. But they also had what we call the dark night of the soul. They had this experience in their lives when they didn't feel that closeness, that intimacy with God. And the response was not to go find something else, but rather the response was to pray all the more, to become even more enamored with their faith, to draw closer to their practices of faith, their works of charity, to seek out God in a more powerful way, in a more profound way, to keep on that journey, not to lose heart, not to lose faith. And we as Christians cannot allow the magnitude of evil and sinfulness, the complexities of sin and evil, confusion that it offers us to overwhelm us. We have to always live by the light of Christ and the promise of the resurrection. We have to be acutely aware, especially during this season, of the suffering that's caused by sinfulness. And we cannot allow ourselves to be tempted to enter into those spaces and those places, to move above, to always keep that mountaintop glory in our hearts and our lives, in the forefront of our mind. And that's why we pray, Kyrie eleison, Christe eleison, Kyrie eleison, Christ, Lord have mercy, Christ have mercy, Lord have mercy. And that's sort of the mantra that should be going through our heads all the time as we journey through life. Because the season of Lent prepares us to celebrate once again what Jesus has done for all men and women in his death and resurrection. That we are called to enter into new life with him so that when our time comes, that we might enter fully into his glory. On our journey of faith, we have to believe that just as Jesus was changed before the apostles, that we also are called to be transformed and changed, not only in this life, but eventually in the life to come as well. If we continue to share in his life, in his teaching, in his prophecy, in his proclamation, and to commit ourselves to that which is true and good and beautiful, all through faith, when we lay our lives aside for the goodness of the gospel message, then the joys and sorrows and the triumphs and the weaknesses that overwhelm us sometimes in this life will all be brought together, and we enjoy the transfiguration of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, forever and ever. Amen.